It is Luke 24, 1 to 12. And I particularly like this. When I look at different verses in the Bible, I like to look at different versions, because certain versions bring out certain parts of the Bible. But I've chosen for this the Message version. And I particularly like the first verse. And I think in terms of language, it's the kind of language that I understand. At the crack of dawn on Sunday, the woman came to the tomb carrying the burial spices they had prepared. So this is the one, just listen. They found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb, so they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of the Master Jesus. They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. Then out of nowhere, it seemed two men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck and bowed down in worship. The men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He is not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up." Then they remembered Jesus' words. They left the tomb and broke the news of all this to the 11 and the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them kept telling these things to the apostles, but the apostles didn't believe a word of it. They thought they were making it all up. But Peter jumped to his feet and ran to the tomb. He stooped to look in and saw a few grave clothes, and that's it. He walked away, puzzled, shaking his head.
The biblical texts I'm using are John 3 and Galatians 2:20. The video you've watched and the reading we've had is a bit of a backdrop. That's the Easter story. That's why we're here today. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. But I'm going to take you on a little bit of a journey and a bit of a story, and hopefully it'll make sense. So, not long after Christmas, I noticed the first Easter eggs appearing in the shops. It seems really annoying that no sooner has one season been celebrated than we're launched into the next. But you know, the middle of winter is not a bad time to be thinking about Easter. Guys, if you could come out. Winter, like this board, is dark. It's cold. And as far as nature is concerned, it seems pretty dead. There are less birds singing, trees are bare, nothing seems to be growing for us. These months seem lifeless. Now, I know this is Easter Day. Good Friday is behind us. But I can't start on this celebration of life without looking at the 3 days in the tomb. Jesus died. And everything seemed lost for 3 days. His disciples and followers must have felt that life and hope had left the world. And so we start with winter. Cold, dark earth, seeming dead. The link to the tomb is easy. It's dark, it's cold, and it is meant to contain dead things. There is no life in it at all. But as the video showed, the tomb could not contain the life that was Jesus. If winter represents the tomb, dark and lifeless. What do all the things on your table represent? There are eggs. There may be fluffy chicks. There may be bouncy lambs. There'll definitely be beautiful daffodils. These are all elements of spring, other than the chocolate Easter eggs, which are elements of very clever marketing by Cadbury's, who made the very first chocolate Easter egg and created a link between Easter and chocolate that I can find absolutely no biblical link for at all. The link between eating far too much chocolate, sometimes all in one day, till we're ill. No link there at all. But even before Cadbury had the great marketing idea of making chocolate, Easter eggs, eggs were used to celebrate Easter. Why? The shell represents the tomb, and inside represents the dark place. But like the tomb of Jesus, in a real egg, life is lurking, waiting to burst out into new life. The fluffy chick is the new life that bursts from the egg. The daffodils that we will put on the cross later also represent this death to new life transformation. They exist as bulbs that look pretty dead and have to be buried under the ground in dark, cold soil before they burst into beautiful new life we see on our tables. Most of the other common symbols for Easter, such as lambs, are about new life that burst forth in spring after the cold, dead period of winter. That's all lovely. Spring is great. It's full of light and new life. But beyond the symbolic links, what has all of this to do with Jesus and with us? It's a great time to remember that Jesus was crucified and did come back to life. But we should remember this even in the darkest days of winter. Jesus is alive and he has overcome death. We celebrate his birth, remembering the gift of myrrh, an oil that's used to prepare the dead for burial. Jesus was born to die for us. In John 3:14, we're told, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent," just a sec, I'm really sorry. Andy, I'm going to give you this because I might have caused that. Sorry about that. So, in John 3, we're told, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Very familiar words. Words that can too easily drop from our tongues without too much thought of what they really mean. They tell us we share in resurrection. We have eternal life. This can bring great comfort, but we must not stop there. Earlier, Jesus had said to Nicodemus, still in John 3, "Very truly I tell you that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Jesus goes on to explain that there is a physical birth and a spiritual birth. After the death of Lazarus, Jesus said to Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life." Before raising Lazarus to life, after he had been dead in a tomb for 4 days, the record of Lazarus shows us that life Jesus offers is not just about life after death. Just like the old Christian Aid slogan, we believe in life before death. Resurrection power is not only available for our life in heaven. Resurrection power is available to those who believe from the moment we accept Jesus. We are adopted as children of God, and we are alive in Jesus. Galatians 2, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. All the lovely symbols of Easter come down to this. Jesus loved us so much, he went to the cross to save us from sin and the law, and to offer a new life for us today. Not just after we die. It starts today. But we have to die to self. Enter the dark tomb. The tomb I'm talking about may be confronting our need of Jesus. Accepting we simply can't do this life on our own. Admitting to God that we have mucked up, that we keep on mucking up and can't seem to stop. After the tomb, we come out into the light of new life. This is capital letter, bold font, underlined. Not the same old life as our old self, but new resurrection self. A person who accepts that Jesus lives in us and must take precedence. That means he takes first place over all our wants and desires. It's a better life. It's a life to the full. But it's such a different life to the life we were born into. It's a life full of resurrection power, a life full of hope. And there is more for us. It's a life full of opportunity to do new things, even when we're old. Even when we're very young, we have the chance to start again. Be reborn with Jesus at our core. Our new life is all about Jesus, more about others, and much less about ourselves. But strangely, we will find this life better, more exciting, full of hope and possibilities. So, if you have not entered into this new life, if you have never said to Jesus, I have messed up so much, I just want to start again. I want your help to live a better life. There is no better time than today, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and everything that he offers to us in our lives today, tomorrow, and every day until our earthly death, and then on into eternity. If you need to reaffirm that, spend some time today just quietly doing that. Lord, I've messed up. I really can't do this on my own. But if you have never gone through that, then take some time to go into that dark place in yourself and ask him to bring you out into the light of new life. And if you've done that, maybe grab somebody in the room and tell them about it. Now, in a minute, we're going to dress the daffodil. We're going to dress the cross with daffodils. Sorry about that. But we're not going to do it the way we normally do it. This isn't an activity to do while we're chatting and having coffee. This is part of our worship. We're extending our worship. We're declaring that Jesus is resurrected. And this dressing of the cross is part of our worship. And when we've done that, we're going to come back and sit down and have one last worship song before going into coffee. So I'm going to just say, remember that today is about resurrection power in us, as well as the fact that we know he is alive. He's also the possibility of all of that resurrection power in us, changing us today.